Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. And the topic of this message today is Kill Lazarus. Kill Lazarus. John chapter 12, verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. That's in Bethany, where he was eating supper at Simon the leper's house and staying with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, you know, Pharisees have one option to handle believers when they can't threaten them to quit witnessing. The way it goes with a Pharisee, whenever he's up against a believer, against somebody that trusts Jesus Christ, the first thing he'll do is he'll threaten them, he'll intimidate them, he'll put fear into them. When we're sitting here studying the book of John, we're going to come across some verses like this. John chapter 12, verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." And that's human nature. That's human nature, to love the praise of men, because you can see them. You can't see the praise of God. You can't feel the praise of God. It's there, but, you know, you have to believe it from what it says in the Bible. And so the first thing that Pharisees will do is they will intimidate. You remember when the blind man was healed there in John chapter 9, even his parents wouldn't say anything about how he got healed because they feared the Pharisees, because the Pharisees had said, if any man confess him, that he'd be put out of the synagogue. Now, you see those kind of things going on sometimes. You know, you'll see a church that's dead and stove up. And part of the reason is people are afraid to say anything or do anything because there are Pharisees in the church, and they don't like that, see. And they've already intimidated the congregation into sort of molding into, you know, no more extreme than the Pharisees want them to go. They really hold them in there, and that really tears up the liberty of the Holy Spirit. But that's the first thing they do. They intimidate. And then the next thing they do is they threaten. They threaten or jail or beat or whatever it may be. They did that a lot to people. I tell you, one of the most obvious places that you see the threatening of the Pharisees is in Acts chapter 4 and in Acts chapter 5. They came right out. They were much more bold. They got on to Peter and John, and they commanded them. See, it wasn't just a matter of a fear. They commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter, of course, rightly answered, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So eventually the Pharisees locked up Peter, and then they had Herod kill James, and Peter got out of jail and all that other kind of stuff. They rebuked Peter later in Acts chapter 5, verse 28. They said, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." See, those guys were strong. They were manly. They were Christians. They knew where to stand their ground. They abided by the law, but they weren't going to abide by a law of men that told them that they were not supposed to do what God Almighty had commanded them to do. So the first thing Pharisees will do is intimidate. The second thing they'll do is threaten. They'll go so far as to imprison, which they did to Peter, they did to Paul, and others. And then after that, if they can't handle it, or they get too furious, they'll kill them. And that's eventually where it all leads for the Pharisees. Intimidation, threatenings, imprisonment, and then finally, the death penalty. And that's the way that Pharisees operate. They have one option in the end to make people quit witnessing, and that is to kill the witness. Now, the idea of killing the witness is not original with the Pharisees. They learned it from somebody else. It started with Cain, all the way back in Genesis chapter 4. So turn back to Genesis chapter 4 and notice how Cain, the first Pharisee, was just like the Pharisees of his day, and Jesus Christ even said so. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 3. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Works, salvation. You see it? Not only that, he brought the fruit of the ground, and what was wrong with the ground, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17? It was cursed. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell, and you know what happened. The Lord gave Cain an option to get it right. He said in verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So Cain talked with Abel his brother, and then Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He killed him. Why? Because God had favor to Abel's offering of a lamb and had rejected the works and self-righteousness and the fruit of the ground that was offered by Cain. Cain, the first Pharisee. In Jesus' day, Jesus had an opportunity to talk to the Pharisees, and he got irate with them because they wouldn't believe him. And he gave them opportunity after opportunity and witness after witness to believe him, and they would not do it. And so he said to them in John chapter 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. You know who that first murderer was? It was Cain. Do you know why Cain killed Abel? One reason only. This is the motive. And it happens every time that a Pharisee kills a righteous man. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So the reason that Cain killed Abel is because his works were evil works. But notice how they were shrouded. They were shrouded in a religious connotation. He, even before Abel, made an offering unto the Lord. But God knew his heart. And his works were evil. Abel's works, Abel's heart was righteous. So, the Pharisees of the days prior to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say Pharisees, you know, that's a sect, and so we sit here, we talk about this thing with the Pharisees, we realize we're talking about a sect, but it's come to connotate people who have a pretense of righteousness. They have a self-righteousness, when in fact, you know, they have no righteousness of their own. The only righteousness that anybody could have is a righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the kind of righteousness that we need. Amen. All right. It started there, and so these Pharisee types then, if you prefer, these Old Testament self-righteous Jews kept killing the men that God sent to them to preach the truth. So it started with Cain, but then it moved through the prophets in the Old Testament. Look in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23:33, Jesus Christ is addressing the Pharisees all through the chapter. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, he'd say over and over again. And then verse 33, he called them right out. He said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Now that's quite a charge there, man. I'm telling you, he pinned them with the murders of Abel all the way to the last prophet that was murdered in the Old Testament, Zacharias. Why? They're just like them. Just like Cain. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, that's where you read about the slaying of Zacharias. And look at it. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Go back over there and look at this thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and go to verse 20. 2 Chronicles 24:20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. Now Jehoiada the priest was a great priest that took this heretofore young king Joash from the time he was just a child and helped him in his rule of the people. But then Jehoiada died and Zechariah his son was the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, this is Zechariah preaching now, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that you cannot prosper? Good question. Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also hath forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with the stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. They killed him in the court of the house of the Lord. At the commandment of Joash, who was tenderly guided in the throne by Jehoiada, Zechariah's father. But they stoned this prophet. Why? Evil deeds against a righteous man. So it started with Cain and it moved through the prophets. We see evidence of this with Ahab. Micaiah came out and prophesied, and Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, you see, he never says anything good about me, only evil. What'd they do? They locked him up. Ahab says, I'll deal with you when I get back. Micaiah said, if you return at all, God hadn't spoken by me. And Ahab didn't return. He died in the battle just like Micaiah prophesied. The priests and the princes tried to kill Jeremiah. It's a perpetual problem. Self-righteous religious people, no matter what brand of religion you call them, will always kill their opponents who profess righteousness simply by having a heart toward God, in this case, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't think that if this started with Cain and runs all the way through the book of Revelation, that somehow we are to escape this problem during the age in which we live. They did it to Jesus. They did it to Jesus. It started with Cain. Cain did it to Abel. They went through the prophets, the kings and the priests and the prophets did it to the prophets of the Old Testament. And they did it to Jesus. Look in John chapter 5, verse 16. John chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. They never let on when Jesus Christ pointed his finger in their face and said, what are you going about trying to kill me for? They denied it, adding lying. You know what the Bible says about lying? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's a liar for you. John chapter 7, in verse 19, Jesus said, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" You see him? Lying. And then accused Jesus Christ of having a devil. You know what that is? That's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That's a terrible thing. John chapter 8, verse 40, Jesus Christ says, "But now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham." You're trying to kill me, and I'm telling the truth to you. These Pharisees, these religious hypocrites, these serpents, these vipers, they paid off Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus Christ in the nighttime up in the Garden of Gethsemane so they wouldn't have to expose their hand in front of the people and cause an uproar. That's a nice guy for you. And then when Pilate was determined to let Jesus Christ go, they mobbed him and hollered relentlessly, "Crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. We'll take the murderer. We'll take the seditionist. We'll take the robber. Kill that man." And then when Pilate said, you know, that he was innocent of the blood of this just man and washed his hands in water, they said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." And you know what happened in Acts chapter 5? They said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." They said it. And then in Acts chapter 5, after Peter was relentless and bold in his preaching, the Pharisees got together with another council trying to figure out how to shut Peter and James and John and all these other guys up. They said to Peter, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Watch it. They're accusing Peter of this. They said, "And intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Peter didn't intend to bring this man's blood upon them. They brought it on themselves right before the crucifixion. They hollered, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." So they're pretty forgetful, wouldn't you say? Pharisees intimidate, they threaten, they imprison. And finally, when they run out of options, they kill. They kill. You know the one thing they don't do? They never get right with God. Not these like this. I mean, there are Pharisees, you read about them in the Bible, that got right with God. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But a true blue, dyed-in-the-wool religious man that won't receive Jesus Christ, he'll turn out being a bloody murderer in the end. According to the Bible, I'm showing you reference after reference after reference. Listen, Cain did it to Abel. The Old Testament priests and kings did it to the prophets. The Pharisees did it to Jesus, and they did it to Stephen, even after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You know what these Pharisees wanted to do to Lazarus? They wanted to kill him. Now, wait a minute. Jesus Christ raised him from the dead 4 days after he had lain in that tomb. Excuse me. I realize that healing a man who was blind from his mother's birth is a big deal. As a matter of fact, that man said to the Pharisees, "This man could do nothing if he were not from God." Because from way back there in the beginning, when was it ever heard that any man opened the eyes of him that was born blind? He knew it was a miracle. All right, well, if that wasn't big enough, in John chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead after he'd been in the tomb 4 days already. That is a huge miracle. And what did the Pharisees do? They said, "We need to kill him because by him many believe on Jesus." Isn't that something? Why not just do like the wise men did and believe him? No man had ever raised anybody up from the dead like that, not even the devil. But they wouldn't do it. Why? Self-righteous, hypocritical murderers. They did it to Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, verse 52, Stephen has preached a dynamite message to the Pharisees, to the Jews. He said, "Let me tell you something. Look, go back to time. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers because of envy. And yet he became the chief ruler of the country under Pharaoh, and he was the very reason that his own brothers and father were spared. And then comes along Moses, and Moses was rejected. Who hath made thee a judge and deliverer of us? God sent him in there, and Moses was rejected by the people, and they fussed and murmured the whole way, and he's the one that got them into the promised land. And he said, you know what? Jesus Christ is just like that. He came down here, you rejected him. He's the one that's trying to get you to heaven. And I tell you what, he said, you're stiff-necked, you're uncircumcised. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Well, he tied the rag on the bush, didn't he? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, gnashed upon him with their teeth. What'd they do? They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. They stoned him, even under the Romans, which was illegal for them. They said, when they took Jesus Christ to Pilate, it's not legal for us to put him to death. They broke the law of the Romans. They broke their own law. They didn't give him a fair trial. They raised up false witnesses. They did not accept the preaching of the Lord God when Stephen told them the truth. They killed the messenger. That's what Pharisees always do. They locked up Peter and John, tried to shut them up, make them quit preaching. I'm telling you, Pharisees, as much as they try, and they've tried from the beginning of Abel until right now, this very day, to shut up God. Right now, this very moment, they say, take the last vestige of anything Christian out of the courts. You know what's going on. Take the Ten Commandments out of that rotunda. You know what's going on. Take it out of school. That's been that way for years. Take it out of the place. You know what they'll be doing? They'll find a way that we have the freedom of speech, amen. I've got the right and protection of our Constitution to say the things that I'm saying on the air right now. I'm not telling you anything but those things that are true, but you watch this. There'll come a day, should the Lord tarry, where even this freedom has the potential of being removed because it names the name of Jesus Christ. The name above every name, and it names the name of God Almighty. And religious Pharisees can't stand that name. And they'll do everything they can to shut up God, but I'll guarantee you one thing, thank God, no religious Pharisee on the face of this earth has ever been able to shut up the voice of God Almighty, and they never will. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so I'm so happy to be on God's side and to take Jesus Christ's stand with his word against this world and proclaim the words of God until some religious Pharisee comes along and says, you've got to stop. And as long as God Almighty gives a voice to this frail flesh and gives liberty in this country to say the name of Jesus Christ and preach the word of God, we preach on, brother. Acts chapter 5, they wanted to shut him up, but Gamaliel said, I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel of this work be of men, it'll come to naught. Watch it. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. For some reason, these religious Pharisees have tried again and again and again since Gamaliel spoke those words to shut up the voice of Christ, and they cannot do it, and they never will succeed. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll show you why. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll show you why. You remember how all this started, where Cain killed Abel? Well, watch this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And watch it. By it he, being dead, yet speaketh. To this very day, the voice of Abel goes on being preached throughout the world because he proved that by having the right sacrifice, he was righteous. And in spite of the fact that his own brother killed him and hid him under a bush, his voice has spoken even this very day in 2003, nearly 6,000 years since that event right there took place. You're not going to ever shut up the voice of God, no matter which religious Pharisee tries to stifle it. And let me tell you something, they have and they will. Don't think that when you quit reading about it in the New Testament, that somehow the religious Pharisees were going to stop their attempts to eliminate the preaching of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. They've tried all through the church age, and they will continue until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You never read about the Inquisition, where probably 5 million Christians were killed by a church to shut up the voice of their preaching? It didn't work. We got saved. The voice of Jesus Christ came right through the Inquisition. Every attempt by that church to shut up the voice of Christianity has failed, and it will continue to fail right on until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, another religion on the face of this earth that has a billion followers is a religion called Islam, professed by politicians to be a religion of peace. It is anything but a religion of peace. There is, in most countries that are dominated by that religion, the death penalty for preaching Christ. And at a minimum, life imprisonment. As a result, because of that false god, they are damning literally millions and millions of people to hell. It is not a religion of peace. Why? Because they kill those who preach the truth, just like Cain did back in Genesis chapter 4. And do you know why? Because their deeds are evil. There's only one way in this universe, this very day, to have righteousness with God, and it is not by the deeds of a religion. It is only and absolutely simply by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary plus nothing. You will either receive the righteousness of God by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you will be condemned to a judgment before God Almighty, at which time those who are not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. It's your choice. I would, if I were you, part company with the religious Pharisees and join up with those that are righteous by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and set about to testify the truth until God Almighty comes, or until they shut you up. And just know this, no Pharisee has ever succeeded, though they've brought some to death.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.